Hey, feeling unsure about your finances these days? You're not alone. That's why Noble Gold Investments is here to help. Just hear it straight from the people who they've helped. The Noble crew walked me through everything with no stress. With their help, I could finally sleep easy at night. And now this month, Noble Gold Investments is handing out a free 5-ounce silver America the Beautiful coin if you qualify for an IRA. Invest in gold and silver with Noble Gold Investments. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Ana Paulina Luna joins us after she just had a baby. Sean Spicer joins us. And I asked the question, is the American dream healthy? Go to tpusa.com and start a high school or college chapter today. That is tpusa.com. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. Open up your podcast app and type in Charlie Kirk Show and get your friends to do the same. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is one of my favorite guests, Turning Point alum, Ana Paulina Luna. Ana, welcome to the program. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. Doing my part to help populate America with conservatives.
Yes. Very, very good news. And welcome to the club. Tell us about your new book. It's very fun.
So we actually, Andy and I had started out by, it started as an inside joke, but what it is it's the legend of Naranja. So for those who might not speak Spanish, Naranja is orange. And as you can see from the artwork, I'll let you kind of assume who that might be. You can head over to orangemanbook.com to purchase your signed copy. But what it's about is it's about an orange that's competing with a banana. And it's about a race. And unfortunately, Newsweek did not like that we were talking about, as I'm assuming you can assume, Joe Biden as the banana. And so they tried to cancel our book, but it's a really fun children's book. And frankly, it teaches a lot of lessons about doing the right thing.
All right. Well, how do people find it and where do they get it?
You can go over to orangemanbook.com and get your signed copy, and it will be live for purchase across all platforms on October 25th.
Okay, well, check that out. Okay, so now let's go to the continuing resolution knife fight. Take as much time as you'd like, Ana. I know that you've been busy, as you should be, welcoming a life into the world. But tell us, what is the latest with this CR fight, and are we going to see the government pause, a.k.a. shut down?
Yeah, so actually, I just got off of a call last night with some of my conservative colleagues that are really forcing the Congress to actually legislate, I'd say, since the first time since the 90s. And so really the architect behind this, and rightfully so, has been Representative Gaetz. You know, a lot of people will try to say, oh, Matt's just a bomb thrower, but he's not. He's arguably one of the smartest politicians that I've met, especially when it comes to strategy. So the CR and a vote for a CR, and this has been my opinion since the beginning, would really do nothing except for continue to fund a weaponized government. And as you saw, Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer want to stick in a whole bunch of Ukraine funding and send that back over from the Senate to the House. And so what we're doing is we are dragging the conference to really help push those single subject spending bills. And what we're hearing right now, Charlie, is the group as a whole, meaning Representative Ogles, Matt Gaetz, Eli Crane, a lot of the other members that you saw publicly come out against this in the last few weeks, we're still a no in the CR. And so it's looking like we're going to be going to a shutdown. But again, just like in January with the negotiations, you know, this has been something that Congress knew this deadline was coming. It's not something that was a surprise. And so I'd say that the right thing to do is to adhere to the agreement that we had for the single subject spending bills. And, you know, if we continue, Charlie, to not do this, what will happen is we're going to continue to go into debt, and we cannot afford that as a country.
So walk us through, what is the impediment then? What is the establishment or leadership saying? And, you know, what are the likelihoods that we're going to reach an impasse?
I think as of right now, leadership is potentially talking about still wanting to bring a vote to the floor on Friday. with a CR, it would have been the Byron Donalds version of the CR minus the Ukraine funding. But again, the group of us are saying we don't want a CR. That's part of the problem. And Congress should not govern by CRs. We need to go through these spending bills. We need to work with the appropriators and specifically determine what should be funded and what should not be funded. And so I think what's going to happen is, pending that we hold out, unless leadership cuts a deal with Democrats, I think that we'll get our single subject spending bills through. But again, there's a lot of negotiations taking place right now. And I really do have to give Representative Gaetz credit, because he's putting his money where his mouth is. He's meeting with leadership. He's continuing to work through this process. And a lot of my colleagues are standing firm in their positions. You know, we're not going to get rolled on this.
Yeah. And so talk about border security or Jack Smith. How are those fights going to kind of play into that?
Well, border security absolutely needs to be a part of this entire discussion. As you saw in the initial CR, they had HR 2 in there. The one thing that I was sad to see is that they removed E-Verify. But as you're seeing, our southern border is completely being overrun. And so no matter what we do as a Congress, that has to be our number one objective, is to ensure that regardless of what the Biden administration is doing, mind you, Charlie, we have laws in place, but the Biden administration is intentionally not enforcing those laws. So we have to keep that in mind when we're negotiating this, because even if we have it in there, if we're not using the power of the purse to ensure that this administration is enforcing those policies and those positions and appointed positions are adhering to our laws of the land, then it's not going to do anything. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is with Jack Smith and even the DOJ, you saw in the last 24 hours, and I think you had tweeted about it, that a DOJ appointee in Delaware, Leslie Wolf, was actually in charge of really hindering an investigation and leaving out political figure one, who is Joe Biden, from a search warrant because of the Hunter Biden corruption case. You know, her position needs to be on the chopping block too. And so we have to make sure that we are including all of this. And as we continue to move forward, I just want to remind especially conservative voters that we are not trying to do this just to, you know, cause chaos. We are doing this to try to save the country. And I cannot emphasize that enough. And you're seeing with the weaponization, if we don't do this correctly, we will essentially be funding a weaponized government, not just against ourselves, but against a candidate for presidential office, which is President Trump.
Yeah, that really is the biggest fight in front of us. Talk about impeachment. Where does that stand? And how do you think we should proceed?
So as you're seeing today, we kicked off one of the initial hearings for the impeachment inquiry. From the get-go, Charlie, starting from when I saw the FBI show us redacted documentation, the FBI coming up with excuses as to why they couldn't tell us who the whistleblower were, to include the FBI having an informant that was leaking information on the open investigation into Hunter Biden to the Bidens. I have thought that this sitting president, you know, Biden, is obviously guilty of public corruption based on the evidence. I still think that we need to move forward and we need to do so aggressively. However, I'm just going to be real with the listeners. The Senate will likely not pass the impeachment. It's not going to actually move past that. But I think it's important to note that if we can at least get the trial started and we can bring information to the American public, just like what happened with Watergate, the media will inform the public as to what's happening. And I just saw a poll from Axios actually in the last 24 hours, and over half of Americans support this. And so that's important, because what we're finding is people that typically might not have gotten politically involved or be paying attention, now they're starting to see, hey, you know, there can't be a double standard, and, you know, they might be independents, they might be soft leaning Democrats, but they don't agree with public corruption.
Yeah. So then in your caucus, do you think we'll be able to get, with Republicans, a House vote on impeachment before Christmas?
I hope, but that's going to be up to the Speaker. And I think that that's, you know, when you're hearing Representative Gaetz's arguments on what's happening, even with the CR and defunding Jack Smith and all that, I think that it's important for the Speaker to see that, you know, Americans, we have to maintain that that standard of justice. And when people lose faith in the justice system, it's actually very dangerous, because that's when they start to push the envelope and where you really see that deep rooted corruption start to expand. And so I know that if the speaker is listening to this, I would ask him to do the right thing and bring that vote to the floor so that we can have due diligence and the justice that we deserve.
Congresswoman Ana Paulina Luna, get back to your newborn baby. Thank you so much for making the time.
Thanks, Charlie. God bless.
Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. We are saving babies with preborn by providing free ultrasounds. When you introduce a girl to her baby by providing an ultrasound, you're giving her the truth at the most important time in her life. And more than 85% of the time when she sees the baby and hears the baby's heartbeat, she will choose life. The voices that call themselves pro-choice are loud and proud, and they are everywhere. It might feel like an uphill battle, but there is no better fight to fight than with the truth of an ultrasound. $140 gives five mothers a free ultrasound and saves babies. $280 can save 10 babies. For just $28 a month, you can save a baby a month for less than a dollar a day. And $15,000 gift will provide an ultrasound machine that will save lives for years to come. Whether you want to save one baby or five or hundreds, that opportunity is just a phone call or click away. I'm a donor to Preborn, and you should be too. Call 833-850-BABY. That is 833-850-2229. Or go to preborn.org/Kirk. If you want to save one baby or five or hundreds, the opportunity is just right there. Go to preborn.org/Kirk. I mean, the media is so dishonest, right? So the media, they cover NAU dishonestly, by the way, right? We had hundreds of people in support and like 60 angry people. Charlie Kirk booed off campus. And they don't do, I mean, honestly, the student newspaper, to their credit, they covered it pretty well. But we had hundreds of people pass through yesterday. And the media is quiet. The student newspaper covered it well. So they're very happy to write a whole article if there's 60 people booing us. And they say, oh, you know, Charlie's not very good at this. Oh, really? Show to a college campus. You'll see unbelievable right-wing support. I'm not saying it's a majority, but it's a lot more than you might believe. So we had an event last night at Arizona State University with Dennis Prager. Dennis is terrific. We don't agree on everything. And I didn't even play into the disagreements yesterday. It's not worth it, right? I mean, if people want to hear us disagree, then we'll go do a podcast or something. We're there to answer questions. But, I mean, I'm on 99% agreement with Dennis Prager on basically everything. And earlier in the day when I did the kind of questions with the students, first of all, far more respectful than NAU. NAU, they're nasty. But the students yesterday, it got very philosophical very quickly. And some of the questions that they were asking were very fundamental, which is, do you need a belief in a transcendent to have a free society? That's a really good question. In fact, I was like, that's the question you guys should be mulling over in your Arizona State University philosophy course or your ethics course, which is, can you have a free society without a belief or without any sort of structure in a transcendent? I believe no. And then another great question from a student yesterday. We'll publish these videos. Again, they were nowhere near as spicy as the NAU ones. Some of them are really deep and long and really helpful. One of the students said, well, Charlie, how do we know a free society is the best society? That's a really good question, actually. I know it sounds silly. They should probably have come to that conclusion already. But that's what college is all about. And again, I'm no fan of ASU and how they've been handling things and the 30-something professors that signed the letter at the Barrett Honors College saying that Dennis Prager and Charlie Kirk should not be allowed on campus, which sparked this massive free speech fight. But it was just reinforcing to me while we were able to have this dialogue on the campus of Arizona State University yesterday, that when you are able to have conversation and some form of speech, you can get to some place that is at least closer to the truth. Why is America so bitterly divided, as they say, which I think it's a little overrated? Why is America at odds with another? Speech is the remedy to divisions. When you're not speaking to the other side, you think lower of them. More antagonistic. You're more hostile. In fact, I want to read one of the quotes here from the student newspaper. I thought it was really powerful, and I thought they actually did a really good job covering it, and they quoted me accurately. And I'm a stickler for the truth. Boy, this was all the way up there. This was from last night. I got to find it here. Let me try to see here. It was done by the Arizona State Press. Elena Mellis, a freshman studying music, approached Kirk with questions about his thoughts on contraceptives. Despite her disagreements with him, she said he was mellow. I understand the fact that I'm not going to agree with everything, but he's not unreasonable, Mellis said. She was actually a really sweet girl. I remember her. And it was about the birth control pill, but I guess that's technically a contraceptive. But anyway, Mellis added that she's interested in having more diverse viewpoints represented on campus. Quote, I think it's really interesting to hear different points of view from people that aren't my own. Oh, I'm sorry. I think interesting to hear different points of view of people that aren't my own, she said. It's interesting to understand where they come from. You see, that was a really important quote. Because here she's saying that, not unreasonable, I disagree with him. That very same young lady very well might have been tricked into screaming at me at Northern Arizona University. Because they never even let me talk. They had a built-up prejudice and stereotype of what they thought I was or how I presented my views as some sort of shock artist. When I do believe my views are rather reasonable and justifiable. And so there she puts forward a piece of an opinion that de-radicalizes the antagonism. That right there is evidence that if you want to heal the land and remedy the rupture of America, speech is the way that we do that. Not shutting up the other side. Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Do you have memories that might vanish if there was a fire or if there was a flood or in the process of moving? People lose a lot of things in moving. I got to tell you about Legacy Box. Legacy Box is the simple and safe solution that I use to digitize all of our memories. And by going to legacybox.com/Kirk, you can enjoy 40% off when you get started with Legacy Box today. The process is easy. Send in your Legacy Box filled with old VHS tapes, camcorder tapes, and pictures. Their team professionally digitizes everything by hand in the United States, and you'll get it back on the cloud or the thumb drive along with your originals. Legacy Box digitizes over 15 types of analog media, so whether it's VHS tapes, Super 8mm film reels, or photo negatives, they've got you covered. After 10 years in business, Legacy Box is the world's largest digitizer. They've helped over 1 million families relive their wedding days, chaotic childhood Christmases, and even road trips to Yellowstone. You owe it to your family, so go to legacybox.com/Kirk, legacybox.com/Kirk. Joining us now is Sean Spicer. Sean, welcome to the program. Sean, you've been around for a few Republican debates. What is your instant takeaway for the circus that happened last evening?
Well, first thing I want to say this. I'm proud to see your support for Preborn. That's, God bless you, because I think that that's absolutely right. We got to put our money where our mouth is. So I'm a big fan of what you're doing to support that. Second, I thought it was an absolute travesty what happened last night. If you closed your eyes and tell and describe the scene, Univision was moderating Gavin Newsom in the spin room, I think 9 out of 10 people would tell you that you were at a Democratic debate. That was a disaster. It was embarrassing, and it was insulting to the candidates there. But more importantly, what it showed to me, and this is the mistake that everybody keeps making on this, Charlie, is they keep saying, well, we need a debate that allows the candidates to speak. Here's the other option that I don't think people are understanding. We've seen all the candidates. We've seen Donald Trump. His support is solid and growing, and their support is not. At some point, trust the voters. The voters have seen the options, and they've chosen to stay and grow with Donald Trump. I think that's what the debates have shown.
So, Sean, let's see if you could pass the test. Can you tell me what on earth is going on in this tape? It's a little bit hard to track. It's almost indecipherable. And by the way, just so we're clear, this was not one time. This was not two times. Okay, cut 142.
We're sitting here in the Reagan Library.
Yes, I wish you would
not. In the honor of Ronald Reagan's library, if I may, from one admirer of Reagan to another,
did
we cannot
do deals with
violate
4 years ago.
This isn't productive.
I want to hear about that.
Let's have a policy debate.
What's going on?
Let us have a policy debate.
Let's have about their record.
Let's have a policy debate. And the right answer is we need to declare independence from China, and I will see that through.
You know what the real problem was? Why didn't Doug Burgum also just speak up? I mean, at that point, you just got to get in, man. Right? If six other people.
Tell you what, they're going to give that. That's going to be like a stenographer final exam. Ready, go. Tell me what was said. You're going to be like watching these court reporters try to get that down.
I got China, Reagan. And I mean, Sean, it was. So let's just talk about this from a media perspective. I want to say this as an outset. I have immense decades-long gratitude and respect for Stuart Varney. But could the moderators have handled this differently? Sean, you've been in the media business for a while. What could the moderators have done to restore order here?
Well, number one, there should have only been one. I mean, when you have three and when you're trying to have a DEI fest, which is what it was, let's include Univision. Let's include the bottom line is have one moderator. The format was horrible. Fox overproduced this thing. They were trying to make it a show. the end of the day, what they should have done is said, here's a topic, China. How are you going to combat China? Go. You get 3 minutes, then we'll have 3 minutes. But they've allowed the format, the tail is wagging the dog on the format. And that's the problem, is they want this to be a show. They want to show that when they ask a question that they look really knowledgeable themselves. It's never been about the moderators. It's supposed to be about the candidates. So I think from the jump, this was set up to fail.
Yeah, and I like the DEI Fest thing. You know, this is something that people are disagreeing with. But for me, I don't think at a Republican debate held in America, you should have this. Let me play cut 148.
Please allow me to welcome our Spanish-speaking audience. Muy buenas noches a todos. Desde la Biblioteca Presidencial Ronald Reagan, los precandidatos republicanos también buscan su voto para las primarias del partido. Bienvenidos.
Sean, I mean, I'm all for people, you know, still having native language roots. I'm all for winning over new voters, but English should be the official language of the United States. I found that to be really kind of irritating and bothering. Am I wrong, Sean, in believing that?
No, look, here's the point. If you want to, we need to grow the party. Politics is about addition, not subtraction. But this is a primary debate. The goal is to give primary and caucus goers and grassroots activists in the conservative movement the best information about who to vote for and who will be the strongest conservative going up against Kamala Harris. And that's what we're really fighting about. And at the end of the day, to try to make sure that we all looked good, that was a sanctioned debate. The RNC chose that. That was a decision that they made. That helped zero voters make up their mind. Because after that diatribe in Spanish, the questions were about DACA, CRT. There isn't a single voter in a primary caucus state that was saying, oh, gee, I'm glad you asked that question. We wasted a ton of time to show that we're trying to reach out. This isn't a general election. This was about this. That was political malpractice. The idea that we wasted that much time to try to look good when we weren't doing anything to further the cause of finding a Republican nominee. I mean, if I were Donald Trump, I was sitting there saying, thank God I went to Michigan.
Yeah. So who is the big winner out of all this? And Sean, I was getting a lot of texts from donors and people. They say, Charlie, is this really the best that we have? And the answer is also this, though, is that excellence drives excellence. So when you do not have your best candidate, he would have pushed other candidates to be better, right? First of all, if Donald Trump would have been there, he would have, this interrupting thing wouldn't have happened. And by the way, it doesn't exactly make the case that Donald Trump should participate in future debates.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I think if I were Trump, I sat there and said, I actually communicated with UAW workers explaining why Biden's policy. I mean, the nut of last night, just to be clear, Trump went to Michigan and said, you can get the biggest raise in the world. You can get a $1 million raise. If your job doesn't exist, it doesn't matter. And what Biden's policies are doing is getting rid of your industry and what you do for a living. So don't buy into a short-term deal. Biden is selling you fairy dust. Trump actually had an audience to himself to explain why Biden's policies are bad for Michigan, bad for America. Trump won Michigan by 10,703 votes in 2016. He can do it again by peeling off more union workers that understand that he's fighting for their jobs and fighting for the future of America. Last night, it would have been a complete joke, and he made the right decision by not going there. Charlie, when your clearest and nearest competitor is 45 to 50 points behind you, why on earth would you show up and give them a stage to do this? Look, maybe when we get closer down, but I go back to the point I made a minute ago. The voters have seen these folks. Mike Pence was a governor, a member of Congress, the vice president for 4 years. Nikki Haley, a two-term governor. Tim Scott, two-term senator. They've seen the candidates. They've seen Donald Trump, and they've made their mind up. We are 3+ months out from the Iowa caucuses. And whether you look at state polls or national polls, I think the decision of most voters, and your point was made a second ago, it grows for Donald Trump. The more people see these other guys, they're like, God, I would rather get in the Trump train now.
Yeah, I agree with that. By the way, the Iowa caucuses are January 15th. Just, you know, everyone can circle that on your calendar. Okay, I want to play another piece of tape here. So you have two people that are honestly, you know, one of them has a nice role to play in the U.S. Senate. Other one is not really doing very well, but is trying to be like the new heir apparent, Nikki Haley. This is a complete waste of everybody's time. Play cut 150.
I think, look, I appreciate Tim. We've known each other a long time, but he's been there 12 years and he hasn't done any of that. He hasn't. They've only given four budgets on time in 40 years. He was part of that.
He increased the national debt.
He voted for the spending.
You voted for
it. He has made sure that the borders are open and they haven't done anything.
Look at everything in South Carolina.
12 years. Where have you been? Where have you been, Tim?
I voted on most of those things.
We've waited and nothing has happened.
Here's what you've done.
Here's the thing that I just find interesting.
Ron, let me finish.
All these guys have said,
here's the fact,
and I appreciate a lot of the things they're saying.
Nikki
I'm
Haley.
The only one up here who's gotten in the big fights and has delivered big victories for the people of Florida, and that's what it's all about.
I mean, actually a pretty good line from DeSantis, but does this get us closer, Sean, to get us to beating Joe Biden or the Democrats in November of 24?
Well, in the sense that the sooner that we come up with the nominee, and right now, again, my point is, I think that Trump, the more we can coalesce and begin that general election fight, the better. But I don't think we did ourselves any favors last night. I don't think this. The one thing I would say from an image standpoint, Charlie, I will say this. If you turn down the volume and look at the stage, I think it reflects well on the conservative movement and the political and the Republican Party that we had people of color there, people of success. Doug Burgum and Vivek Ramaswamy are successful business people. I like the look, but I thought that the behavior and the tone last night didn't do the party any favors.
Yeah, I think that's right. Sean, tell us about your new podcast, please.
Thank you, sir. The Sean Spicer Show is available every day, 5 days a week on Apple, YouTube, and Rumble. As you know, Charlie, I'm trying to follow your trail. I feel like a NASCAR driver trying to draft behind you. But any subscriptions are super helpful to help in this world of conservative independent media. I got asked this morning, you know, what would you have done differently about this debate? And I said, why aren't we putting people like, you know, Charlie Kirk, Dan Bongino, Glenn Beck, Ben Shapiro, Salem Media folks, like, why are we doing Univision? We have independent media that is successful. You've blazed the trail in this. I think that Turning Point could be hosting a debate. I mean, so I'm proud to be joining the independent media group by going out there with the Sean Spicer Show. Please subscribe. Help me grow like Charlie. Thank you to everybody who's helped him. I just want a fraction.
No, Sean is great. You've been a great friend for years. Make sure you subscribe. Sean, we're 100% behind you. You're welcome anytime. Thank you.
Thanks, bro. Always appreciate it.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. And like many of you, I'm a busy guy balancing family, show, travel, and TPUSA. When I needed a mortgage, I went to my friends Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian at Sierra Pacific. They were amazing. And look, I had some complicated stuff. Don't need to go into the details. They handled it personally. Call them if you have an aging family member, for example, that needs some financial relief. Ask them about a reverse mortgage. If you're self-employed and are finding it difficult to qualify because of that, they have my 100% full and complete endorsement. Call them and help you prepare. I'm telling you, anything mortgage-related, please call them and not the big woke bags. Go to andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com. Fill out the quick form, and they will get back to you with answers. Call them at 888-888-1172, andrewandtodd.com. They're good friends of mine. Full and complete endorsement. If you are a first-time home buyer renting and want to be, they'll call and help you prepare. Check it out, andrewandtodd.com. That is andrewandtodd.com. Fill out the quick form, and they'll get you back with answers, andrewandtodd.com. Several stories still to touch on today. All right, this is what drives me nuts. Happy talk. This is an interesting question. You can believe that the American dream still exists for some people. But to say that the American dream is healthy and intact, that doesn't resonate. This connects perfectly with something I'm going to talk about that I was almost trying out in real time with the Arizona State students yesterday, who were very receptive. They were very polite. I have nothing but good things to say about them, including the ones who disagreed. I mean, there were a lot of people coming up doing F-bombs and, you know, the flicking of that, hope you go to hell, hope your kids die, all that sort of stuff. That's normal, but that's just like passerbys. That's like skateboard bros, right? Mostly women. But the people that actually engaged were terrific. They really were. Okay, Play Cut 160. This is not how you win younger voters. Play Cut 160.
America and the dream, it is alive, it is well, and it is healthy. God bless these United States of America.
Okay, bro, I'm an admirer of your story. I'm glad you're in the U.S. Senate. It's not healthy. This is 1989 happy talk. Now, I'm not willing to say the American dream is dead. I'm not a leftist, Marxist, do that all the time. But to say it's healthy, it is sick, man. It is diseased. And Senator Scott, I don't think I've ever had a negative thing to say about Senator Scott. Nor, I mean, by all accounts, he's very pleasant, very sweet. He was to me. But Senator Scott, I would love to have you attend with me one of these campus events. And you could, you know, you could sit and just watch. And yesterday I had this group of people in front of me, right, talking. And again, great conversation, positive dialogue, constructive, everything that Turning Point USA stands for, everything. And we had some disagreement. I said, time out. How many of you believe that you're going to be able to own a home in the next 5 years? No hands go up. How many of you feel as if you are going to have nonstop debt for the next decade? Every hand goes up. They have been created as Russian serfs. Home ownership is so hard to find because what we've done is we saddle them with unnecessary student loan debt, send them to schools to learn silly and stupid stuff, fill them up with really bad ideas. And we printed all this money, massive structural inflation over the last couple of years. So all of our asset prices have gone up and young people can't even pay the down payment, let alone service the loan, especially in major metropolitan areas like Dallas, Austin, Texas, Houston, Phoenix. Home prices in Phoenix have gone up 65 to 70% since COVID. The price to fill a tank of gas has doubled. And something that I hear a lot is some older people, you know, baby boomers, God bless them, say, Charlie, why don't the kids just work harder? The American dream is alive and well. Not for a 26-year-old. It isn't. And I'm not one to play victim politics. So if I'm saying this, you guys should listen very carefully. But if I'm talking to these kids on campus, they own nothing. They own nothing. So they're going to enter into a workforce, and the only way they could probably even make ends meet is maybe a loan from their parents. Try going into the Phoenix housing market at age 25. Rent alone is going up 15 to 20% a year in Phoenix. Trying to get married. Please, I want anyone that's talking down to these kids, like Tim Scott, who just rehearses this disgusting Chamber of Commerce talking point. Try get married and having kids in your 20s like your parents get. I have to replay this. This is Tim Scott. What country is he talking about? It's as if it's like Back to the Future. As if he's some sort of time traveler. He's just like giving a 1989 speech. Play it again. Play cut 160.
America and the dream, it is alive, it is well, and it is healthy. God bless these United States of America.
It's not healthy, man. It does the Republican Party no good. You are doing active damage to the conservative movement. You sound disconnected. You sound elitist. It's denialism. You know, the left piles on because they say, oh, we're climate denialists. Forget that crap. That's a bunch of nonsense. You are economically denying. You are in active generational denial if you think the American dream is alive and well. Sit down, pick 10 random kids at the University of Arizona or Arizona State University and sit down and go through their economics and financials with them. It will blow your mind. They're a nation of debtors, Russian serfs that own nothing and told to be happy. So for Republican candidates, stop saying the American dream is healthy. It's diseased, sick, and dying. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns.
What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work.
Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.